To everything, there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time and a season for everything, as the Word of God states. These truths are in evidence. The gathering nears completion. Soon the king will come to separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25:32-33. The tare barns shall burn with fervent heat, and I guarantee you the flames approach. What was once the church has fallen into a splintered shambles, resembling less and less the unified, powerful, spirit-filled entity it once was. What was once holy, what was once virgin, is now defiled and reprobate, powerless, and wandered off in iniquity. Many souls were once called to Jesus Christ in these churches, but no more. Their vessels are broken. Everything has its time and place. And when time runs out, and God's will is that it come to an end, it does just that. Now, many of us have preached fear before a sovereign God. Repentance, vigilance, steadfastness in our faith, preparedness, and now a rushing to God's bosom. We have called for a forgetting of ourselves and that we serve a loving God in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4, verse 23. That we take no consideration for ourselves, Matthew 6, 25. That God be all we live for. For the times are perilous, and the stench of hypocrisy in God's church rises to mingle with the very clouds of war, deception, and the calamities that beset us in this world today, now. Our hypocrisy rises as a stench before the Almighty Holy God. And we wonder after the calamities that now come. Where is the repentance? Where is the separation to God? We are told that Christianity is spreading across the globe. I tell you, it is the cancer of false doctrine that spreads across the globe. I tell you, it is the sore plague of blindness that spreads across the globe. It is a prayer and a handshake Christianity. It is a corruption which damns souls to hell. And we cannot change it, nor halt its spread. We do not understand the gravity of our times, do we? We do not believe His holy word through His Spirit, do we? I have repeatedly spoken the words laid down upon my own heart. The watchmen have cried aloud unto the camp. Their voices are drowned out by the howling onslaught of crooked apostles of Satan, well-funded and forcing out the small, poor, humble voices of the Most High God. Their towers prevail. Their facades prevail. Their lie prevails. Their compromise prevails. But they shall not prevail much longer. This is the silence that comes upon us. This famine of God's truth. This is no travesty, though. It is expected as part of God's prophesied progression to the fulfillment of His prophecies concerning the last days of the world. Don't throw around your pimply little hyperbole and your innuendo and your shine when you think it fits in and say, well, we know we're in the last days. Do you? Well, I believe in plainness and in sincerity that these days have arrived. Our churches are more important to us. Our compromise completes us. Darkness fills the temples of God, and Satan sits in the high seats of these temples, our bodily temples. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You look for signs and wonders. Oh, foolish, foolish Jerusalem. The pulpits of the congregations are filthy cesspools full of treason against the sovereign God. They shall never be purged until God's fire purges them, but by then it will be too late for them to repent. They should repent of their treachery and their lies and their deceits, but they won't. Brute, carnal beasts, wise in their own conceits, ruling over sleeping sheep. 2 Peter 2:12, Jude 1:10. We have ordered our calamity. We have chosen our judgment, and our vile affections toward ourselves and the things of this world are what we embrace in the sight of a holy God. Abomination. This is our reasonable sacrifice today? Abomination. And while it is yet day, and still the accepted day of salvation, fewer and fewer present themselves patiently to God, penitently to God, nor accept sharing in the suffering of Jesus Christ as stated in his holy word. Persecution? For what, I ask? For what, church? What are you being persecuted for? The high cost of living? We sick, perverted liars care nothing for the true cost of living that was paid in full at the cross. That price was death. And we do not rejoice for the mercy shown us by a God who lowered himself to our level to save us from spiritual death. No, no, we esteem ourselves. God himself came to a depraved world, and what does he receive as his reward for his suffering? Gospels of prosperity, gospels of secret raptures, gospels of fast and easy salvation without repentance and a turning away from sins. This is his reward? Fast and easy, broad is the way, and it is choked with those like you within the sound of my voice. We do not rejoice over crucifying ourselves to this life and its pleasures and its allures. We do not rejoice that the hand of God now moves with the beginning waves of his wrath upon us. We doubt his promises. We doubt his sufficiency. We doubt his word. Shall God save any like this? We are cursed with double-mindedness. We are hypocrites worthy of hell because we have chosen hell. We deserve hell. Those who have rejected the simplicity of Jesus Christ and his commandments have rejected his doctrine. And he that is not for God is against God. Enemies of the cross. Go ahead and name his name. The very devils do also. Name his name and live in your sins. Wallow in your sick, deluded beliefs. The last name many of you will name will be Lord, Lord, just prior to your banishment into the cold blackness of separation from God for eternity. Is this what you want? And those who suffer this fate will have earned every tortured second of it, because you reject the truth. Oh, you've heard me preach it. Our love is for our bellies. Our love is not for selflessness and surrender to God. The Lord our God has told us that beyond the day of our calling and sanctification, we cannot serve two masters. No royal priesthood, one spoken of in 1 Peter 2:9, can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. Yet we do. Yet we serve the perishing mind and flesh and raise it up before a holy God as a filthy idol and to his shame and to our certain destruction. Piece of cake, isn't it, this Christianity thing, folks? Piece of cake. Is this what we want? Destruction? Blackest darkness? Separation from God? God has told us we are nothing but a vapor. We are wretched. We can do nothing apart from God. God tells us he will provide for us. We come to Christ wretched, naked, blind. We are sinners deserving hell. Upon our church conversions, we embrace two masters, ourselves and God, make no mistake. The corporation and God, make no mistake. The party and God, make no mistake. We collude with demented angels of dark light against the very God we say we serve. We are liars. We have accepted hirelings from hell to lead us, and lead us they have, straight into the yawning jaws of spiritual catastrophe. Well, well, well. The bill for this folly has just begun to be collected, ladies and gentlemen. Behold the terror which has descended upon our nation and this world, and it has just begun. Pick a terror. They're in the news constantly. I will not tolerate the sick and putrid odor of compromise. And I tolerate less the smell of fear. Let's talk about it, they say. Let's talk about it. Well, I will not dignify any lame, godless, learned challenge to the word that God has placed in my heart and on my lips with anything but silence, and maybe one word. Repent! I will give the message with godly fire, or I will not give it at all. Ladies and gentlemen, minds have been raised up in place of the fear of God. Minds and literary reasonings, semantics, they're the way to salvation today. Signs and wonders take precedence over quiet, secret prayer and communion with the Father of creation. Do we not remember that our minds are stumbling blocks before us and God? Do we not remember that our minds must be yoked into submission to God? What, are your hands tied? Or do you fear? You weak-minded sheep. Well, I say, receive silence as your reward. Delusion, it appears, is complete in many. It is not about semantics and logic. It is about spirit and truth. May your debates and your mental assent to the truth condemn you in the end. If this has become your road, I speak of a living God that words cannot explain. Your words cannot explain away. I speak of a Holy Spirit who teaches, guides, and comforts, fills, quickens, binds, and gives power. No man can do this, and no man can find this on his own reasoning. God fills and God pours out. It is a great blessing to be nothing before the eyes of my God, with only his Son's reflection that he sees in me. And it is even a great blessing to be absolutely nothing in the eyes of those who reject the truth. Scoffers have arisen, so be it. We have but short time before the financial and governmental systems we have come to rely upon fail completely. Infrastructure breaks down. Can you walk down your city streets today unmolested? Not without an escort. Not without some firepower. Can you? Can you do business with anyone without someone stealing from you? By way of the laws that are in place to allow those to do it? Aren't we even being warned by the godless media? No? I'm out on a limb then. We act like it will never happen. We preach the truth, and we believe it to be a lie by our very actions. I have begun this present work as it was set before me by my God to do his bidding with what he had provided for me, and I ain't out to make friends. I knew at the start that I would be given only a short time because there wasn't much time left then. I tell you now, the sky is red. I will preach repentance and holiness before God, even if God himself would send me to hell. For he is sovereign. I will preach of our wretchedness and against our deceived folly. I will preach the only way to salvation, Jesus Christ, the door. I will preach a narrow, agonizing way to the life Jesus Christ bought and paid for. Though I descend into the depths, though the means to preach the truth may be removed from my lips, I will never cease giving him praise and glory for his mercy. Are you breathing right now? That's God's mercy. Do you thank him every time you suck in the foul air? I will make mention of the Lord forever in spirit, thought, and deed, no matter who hears me. This is my confidence right here. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Good old Job 13:15. Yet will I praise him, for he is worthy of his reward. The old holiness preachers of Wesley's day preached a sovereign God and total repentance upon receiving God's call. Today, we debate their theology. We label them and pass these spirit-filled men of God off as old-fashioned. Of course, they had not the fuller revelation of the last days as we know it, as we do now. But wasn't the gospel of salvation enough? Isn't it enough today? As God's sons and God's daughters, will we not receive his words and be enlightened? Is God's true purpose enlightening us to every detail of prophecy? Or is it saving our miserable souls, bringing us to an understanding of him, the Father of our salvation? Souls are God's purpose, and God hasn't changed, and neither has his gospel. I'm past fed up with the debates and the scoffing and the finger-pointing, and I'd make a fortune logging out the lumber in some people's eyes. There's a fire coming while we wag our educated tongues at each other like a bunch of Pharisees. Souls are being lost. Show me your humility, you pedigreed dogs. Show me your holiness, you once washed swine. Show me your love, you smiling two-faced hypocrites. The road sign in front of you who deny the truth, who find an easier way, the way of the robber, into heaven. That sign says damnation. And you're on the right road. You keep playing with God's holy words. You keep twisting and avoiding them altogether. The truth is not in you, only your bloated bellies. Damnation. Damnation for the God-hater and the hater of the truth, the lover of himself. Damnation. It draws nigh as readily as the redemption of God's holy children. Get ready is the word I have been given. Get ready now. Prepare your hearts. Repent or perish. The true saints of God are wearing out as we speak. Daniel 7. Iniquity abounds, and the overspreading of God's indignation has begun. And where are you? Where are you? Are you coming to Jesus Christ or a lie? Are you a robber seeking another way into heaven like those in John 10:1? There is only one way, one faith, one sacrifice, one God, one Savior. And he doesn't wear an Armani suit. And he doesn't take your money. We all do not serve the same God as our leadership would have us believe. Are you going to be saved in the end, or will you receive the reward of your weakness and unbelief? Dear God, ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. Today is the day to change it while you still can. I exhort you to return to the first love, the only love that can save as well as damn. Cast out your idols, separate yourselves to your God. We are nothing in the eyes of God outside of his mercy, outside of his Lamb, Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, the humble servant, the mighty judge. If we can lay eyes upon our treasures, then they're not laid up in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the time for compromise. This is the time and season for complete repentance, a turning from all iniquity and falseness. This is the time and season to seek refuge in God without fear. His long-suffering will end. This is the time and season for judgment. And his long-suffering is coming to an end. And where will you end up? Where will you end up? Have you placed another king in your hearts? Remember 1 Samuel chapter 10? And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. And does the Lord God now say to you, Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands, your mega church thousands. Ladies and gentlemen, saints and sinners, those God-rejecting tribes and thousands spoken of in Samuel are gathered for their own destruction before God. And isn't it a picture of today, now, this moment in time? We've put another king in our hearts. Think about it. We've placed another king before us, not God. You have little time before the voices of God's servants go completely silent. I can guarantee you of that. This isn't going to cost you $17.95 to find my revelations. I'm telling it to you straight up right here and now, because I could be gone and my soul could be required of me in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So I'm telling it to you now, and it's free. Repent or perish. And you folks are the only ones who are going to make the choices. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. Run to your God now and cry out for his mercy. Confess your wretchedness and your pride to him. Throw yourselves upon his mercy and once and for all turn from your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, saints of the Most High God, complete your journey. May it end in life. Now is the time to die to yourselves completely, that you might live forever to thank, praise, and glorify God. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak, Ecclesiastes 3:7. Well, there is also a time to speak and a time to be silent. What will you do when the voices are finally stilled? The time is at hand. Keep to the road, and may God have mercy upon you. Praise, glory, and honor be to God the Father, the merciful God, the everlasting God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.